No, it's going to take a while to get you on the committee, but we're there. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of changing in the agenda. House File 2023, my bill, we will move till tomorrow. It's the 504023, which is the non-controversial one, but it does the base adjustments. We'll take Representative Osmond's first to the claims bill. Representative Osmond. Representative Osmond would move then that House File 3360 be recommended to pass based on the general registry. Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is the 2008 claims bill. It is the claims committee looked at over 50 claims against the state of Minnesota. This bill appropriates almost $86,000 towards these claims. There is a sentence to serve claim from the Department of Corrections. We have some other injury issues with the Department of Corrections that are included in the bill. The Department of Health, we have $2,000 from the general fund, $1,000 from the petroleum tank release cleanup fund. This is an error that occurred within the department in trying to deal with a well situation. And then Department of Transportation, we have $67,000 in the claims bill to compensate individuals that were dealing with some discarded debris from tearing down of bridges in the southern part of the metropolitan area. And so this the claims bill, is if I have questions.
There is a handout, I guess, for pages. Is that correct on this bill? Is there one? Well, this is merely the summary that you already given, though.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions on this? Anybody want to read the summary? Okay, if not, then Representative Osmond would, first of all, let me make a statement that this is within the target of the claims and other bills. It's well below the target. So Representative Osmond then would renew his motion that House File 3360 be recommended to pass and placed on the general registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? And carried. And for the reviser? Thank you. You didn't even have to say anything this time.
Mr. Chair, if I could.
Yes.
I just want to mention, Mr. Lindeke said last time we were here, he was going to retire.
Yes.
And due to the several circumstances that occurred between that time and now in the interim, we were able to persuade him to continue on for a while and help us out. And it has really been a great pleasure and appreciation that he would make that additional sacrifice for us.
Well, we appreciate that, too.
I am retiring this year.
Okay. Well, we will miss you. Representative Rukavina? Is he here? He's always lost. He's probably out making three amendments. They're going to find him.
How are you doing?
The forecast. Is that right? I still fit.
EAW points it out.
Well, we'll give Representative Rukavina a few more seconds.
I totally agree. There's a, you need to have a point out when it's necessary to do that. I just don't see how we can have any more of those items.
Well, we're going to postpone that bill right now, later on in the agenda, and we'll go to Representative Carlson. Representative Carlson, you have the motion for us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just let me get organized here. Real quickly, Chairman, I move that the House File 1812 be recommended to pass and place on the general order.
Representative Carlson moves House File 1812. Representative Carlson, this has been through many committees. I think most people on this at least have got parts of it. Do you want to just give us a quick overview? And members, in your packet, there should be a spreadsheet, I believe, also, that is given to you. There's a, I think,
and Mr.
Representative Carlson?
Chairman, I do have three Watson's amendments.
Did you want to take those first?
I would just assume take first, and then that puts the bill in the order that I would like. And I believe you've got copies of...
they're being passed out right now.
Two of them. One is an oral amendment that was just drawn to my attention, dealing with a provision that actually Representative Murphy added in the Finance Committee. And we're told that... the revisor's office inadvertently left out one sentence.
So is that a written amendment or an oral amendment?
It was going to be an oral amendment. It's on page 225.
Okay, let's take that first. Members, if you can, 225?
And after, let's see, the period on line 28, we would insert following sentence.
Well, Mr. Representative Carlson, page 225, line 28.
Excuse me, line 32.
Okay, very good. Okay, after the period.
Insert the funds received by the commissioner for the confinement and non-confinement costs are appropriated to the department for this purpose. And this is part of an amendment that Representative Murphy had in finance, and like I said, it was inadvertently left off by the revisor's office.
Okay, the staff has that. Staff, could you repeat the amendment, please? And well, I wonder if we can have attention so the tape will reflect this as well.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, I can bring this up to you so that your staff has this if they don't already.
I understand the staff has
it. Again, on page 225, after the period in line 32, insert the funds received by the commissioner for the confinement and non-confinement costs are appropriated to the department for these purposes.
And the staff has this?
Yes, staff.
Okay, does everybody understand the oral amendment? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? And carried.
No wonder that I do believe you have at the desk, Mr. Chairman.
We have a 6-1.
A-6-1.
Is that your amendment, Representative Carlson?
Yes. This is one that has a lot of, or not a lot, but a few technical changes. And the first part of it ensures that an agreement between a Minnesota school district and a South Dakota school district. We needed this language to clarify the student accounts that comes from the education folks. The second part of the amendment moves this section from Article 21 to Article 17 to match the spreadsheets, and that was recommended by Mr. Mark as a technical amendment. Then if you look on the second page where it deals, beginning on line 2.9, the effective date, and the various number there, technical changes to the Human Services Appropriation Rider to match the spreadsheet.
Those are fiscal changes?
Yes. And then on the third page of the amendment, it's technical changes again to the Human Services Appropriation and Riders to match the spreadsheet. So it's mainly a lining up of the spreadsheet, that one article, and then dealing with the student counts between a reciprocity agreement that we have with South Dakota right on the border with some small school districts.
Any other discussion?
I'll move the amendment.
Representative Carlson moves the 861 amendment. Discussion to the amendment. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Solberg.
Representative Solberg, Representative Carlson, this is purely technical.
That's my understanding, the entire amendment. Most of that amendment is brought by Mr. Marks for the alignment of, for the fiscal people who work with Mr. Marks to align the bill with the spreadsheet. And if you'd like Mr. Marks to comment.
My understanding is technical, fiscal technical. They're lining up the right numbers. Others? Others? Not, then the, those in favor of A6-1, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. And Representative Carlson?
And Mr. Chairman, this would be A26, and this was brought to me by Representative Tamar.
And I understand it's a Carlson-Smith amendment, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So,
and what we would do with this amendment, per the recommendation of Representative Tamar and Representative Smith, then is take an additional $1 million from the fire safety account and give that to the court, and that would reduce the reduction to the court spend by $1 million. Under the bill that's before you, the courts reduced about half the amount that the governor had recommended. So we were a lot gentler with the courts, but there still remain some issues, so this will help resolve some of those financial issues with the courts. And Mr. Chairman, if Mr. Smith would like to comment beyond that.
Representative Smith?
Mr. Chairman, all I would do is say I concur with this additional $1 million. The courts are the funnel for everything else that is being funded, and so this will help to ease the cuts. So I do support it.
Representative Aber?
Mr. Chair, and this is all just a comment about this kind of move. I actually have a friend who's connected, understands the value of the fire safety account. I'm not going to vote against it. I just wanted to comment that every one of these accounts are taking money from. They're supposed to do something for somebody somewhere, and it was decided how much money there should be in there. And one of the grouses the payees into this account, into the account, is that the money doesn't get spent for what it's designed to do. And this is a kind of accounting problem in this particular account, and I think, you know, rescue the courts or whatever, but I'm going to ask later about the different funds that we've taken, what the total number is, but I think there's this bill is full of taking money from accounts that have no business doing what they're going to be doing with it. And so that I'll just stand down. Thank you.
Other discussion on this particular amendment? If not, then Representative Carlson and Smith renews the motion of Amendment A26. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And carried.
Mr. Chairman, if you'd like, then I have a few comments about
would you
the bill.
Be so kind? And members, probably you want to follow along at least the first couple of pages, the first 2.5 pages on the big sheet that's in front of you. Representative Carlson.
And Mr. Chairman, my comments are going to be general because it is a fairly extensive bill, but I think as far as the broad questions are, with the introductory comments, they should be covered. But the House budget proposal that, in effect, has been when we set the targets before this committee before, is a responsible balance and reflects the critical priorities of the state. the plan is a reasonable combination of budget reduction, use of reserve funds, and increased revenues by closing corporate tax loopholes. Please note on the spreadsheets provided that all finance divisions as well as the tax committee met their targets as passed by the Ways and Means Committee, this committee. There are no general tax increases in the proposal, and we keep our commitments to schools, health care, and college students. During a time of economic downturn, there is an appropriate use of rainy day funds to help address the budget deficit. The plan doesn't simply protect our schools, but reprioritizes resources and invests the equivalent of an additional 1% in the funding formula, or approximately $51 per pupil unit. We incorporate several of the governor's recommendations, but differ with him in key areas. We minimize his cuts to higher education, which should allow our universities to keep tuition at a reasonable level. The plan does not incorporate the governor's proposed cuts to nursing homes and disabled. In fact, the House proposal includes a 2% cost of living increase for nursing home workers at a time when we are investing in a comprehensive health care system and are advancing needed reform proposals. It is critical that we strongly support our nursing home workers who are responsible for the daily care of our elderly. The proposal includes budget reductions to the state agencies of approximately 3% and includes reductions to the legislature's budget as well. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I will stop, and we could go over the bill section by section, but I don't think that's necessary. If you look at the spreadsheet, you will find that Again, each of the divisions is within their target.
So, Representative Carlson, each of the divisions was within the target, and on the bottom of the spreadsheet, we find that on the third page that we have a net balance of $1,849,000. Now, this spreadsheet also indicates that we are accounting the other bills that have gone before us. That includes on the top of three, with $3,175,000 from transportation general fund, $175,000 from the deficiencies, the $40 million from the 35W victims compensation proposal, and the $17.7 million from the capital investment as well. That includes in the capital investment some cash that needs to be done because of cycle bonding, and also does the debt service on it.
Mr. Chairman, there's one other important thing that did come up in the Finance Committee, in addition to what you just covered on page 3, is if we take a look at the sales. As you know, this committee didn't set a sales target, but when we met with the division chairs and the tax committee chair, we asked that close attention be paid to that. And we do do better on the sales question now as a result of the finalization of the bill last night than the governor. Going into the next biennium, the governor's number would be $695 million. That we would need to deal with, and we've reduced that to $584 million. So we are better on the tails as well. That's an important thing to know.
Okay, questions on the bill? Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You mentioned, Representative Carlson, 2% for nursing home workers. Is that in addition to the 1% that is already scheduled from last year? Is that a total of 3 or is it a total of 2?
Mr. Chairman, that was an additional 2% on top of the previous.
So we
Have
3% then, Mr. Representative
Earhart?
Mr. Chairman?
Can you speak into the microphone, Representative Earhart?
Okay. Mr. Chairman and Representative Carlson, do we have a 3% now for the second part of the biennium, or is this a total of 2? We had 1%, I believe, from last year.
Yeah.
Representative Carlson.
Chairman, that was an additional 2% that was added in the Finance Committee. I don't know if Representative Huntley...
Maybe Representative Huntley can give us what the base was. Your question was for nursing homes, is that correct? Representative Huntley?
Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart, I was not listening to your question, but if you're asking how much the COLA was, it's $5,754,000.
Representative Huntley, can you give us what the base was? Is it 2% in the base, and then this is an additional 2%?
That's on top of what's in the base. The governor had proposed some additional cuts from the base. We did not do those.
Well,
Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, the statement was made by Representative Carlson that we were going to give nursing home workers a 2% increase. I believe that was the statement. And I was wondering if that was 2% on top of the 1% that we already were budgeted for last year for this year.
Yes. Representative.
So we have a total of 3 then.
Mr. Chair, they were also going to do rebasing this year, or in fiscal year 09, and the governor eliminated that rebasing. We did not re-eliminate it, so they're in effect, we're not going to get a COLA, but they were going to get a raise because of the rebasing in nursing homes. We're continuing that rebasing, so they'll get that raise, plus they'll get on top of that 2%.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that really answers it, but I'll let it go for now.
Okay.
When you were quoting some figures, Mr. Chairman, were you looking at this, page 3 or something or other?
Representative Earhart, I was looking at page 3. That's correct. It's a half page.
Yes. Okay.
And that gives the totals. Page 1 and 2 is the totals of each of the divisions.
Thank you.
That comes through.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Carlson,
can clarify that nursing home question. When I said 2%, apparently where the error may have been in our discussion, as I understand it, is that there was not a 1% for this year. So I what I was saying was that 2%, but apparently it's not 2% on a 1%. There wasn't the 1%, but there was the rebasing question. As
Representative
Huntley pointed out, just so everybody's clear on that.
Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart, the rebasing would have given them in fiscal year 2009 $5,341,000 extra dollars. That was in last year's bill for fiscal year 09. The governor wanted to eliminate that. We're not eliminating that, so they're getting an increase that we said last year of $5,341,000, plus they're getting another increase on top of that of another $5,754,000.
Does that answer
the question? I've been getting a lot of letters asking for at least 2%. That's my understanding was we gave 1% last year, so I'm trying to figure out how much, for heaven's sake, did they get?
Well, they got a raise last year, and I think it was like 1.7%. This year, they were scheduled to get what in effect would have been a 2% raise. Now they're going to get what in effect will be a 4% raise, or close to it.
Really?
Okay. Other questions? Representative Holder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Carlson, would you tell us what provisions are in this bill that raise revenue, whether I think it's a matter of semantics, some might call them tax increases, some might call them conformity, some might call them corporate loopholes, some might call them fee increases, but would you please tell the committee all of those areas in which revenue is increased as a result of this bill?
Chairman,
Representative Carlson.
Members that look at Article 26, it contains the tax provision, and the bill raises $187.7 million by eliminating the foreign operating corporation.
Representative Carlson, maybe you can give us the stage number.
I don't happen to have a stage number here. I've got the
article. What?
359.
Right near the end of the bill.
359.
Yeah, beginning at the bottom then of 359, Article 26. And as I mentioned, that contains $185.7 million by eliminating the foreign operating corporation loophole and repealing the foreign royalty subtraction, $4.5 million by requiring tax haven reporting, and $11.56 million by increasing the securities registration cap. In addition to that, I think part of your question was the other parts of the bill. There are fee increases and so on in other parts of the bill. There was a summary provided in the tax committee last night. If that's not in your packet, I can get you a copy of that. Several pages that identify the fee changes and so on. It might be helpful.
Representative Holberg, if you look also in the detail of each of the funds, you will find I think your answer. It's spread throughout different areas. Bill Mark will point each of those out to you if you'd like to, or do you want to have it put it out now?
Well, Mr. Chair, if there is some document, maybe we can get a copy of that run.
We'll do that. Yeah. We'll
somebody
pull it out.
Have one now that we can go get copies of? Or?
I have one, Mr. Chairman, that is fairly extensive. It was prepared by the staff of the tax committee dealing with all tax and fee changes. The tax changes identified specifically already, but there is a list there of the other fees that I can...
Representative Holbrook, if you want that copy for this meeting, we can do that.
It would be great if the people were able to.
Let me also point out that in your spreadsheet in each of the divisions, you'll be able to see that, and Bill Marks is going through those to make sure you have the right information.
And Mr. Chair, I appreciate that, but when we get 300 and 70-some page bill, fairly hot off the press, it's a little hard to digest it within a matter of hours. So certainly any type of tools that we can use that are already prepared to help point those things out, we would appreciate it.
We'll get those too. Representative Chumper, thank you,
Mr. Chair. I believe Representative Junkie isn't here, but I was just looking at the agricultural spending. It looks like there's a reduction of about $5 million, and about $2.3 million of that is part of this livestock investment grant program, which is a pending bill. Is that correct?
President Chumper, I think what that is, that bill is traveling two ways. And we have language in here that you don't count it double. I think that you're talking about the bovine TB. Is that correct?
I think that's separate, isn't it? Or am I wrong? I was just looking at the House summary. It says $2.385 million is a one-time appropriation to livestock producers via the Livestock Investment Grant Program. I don't think that's the TV.
Jim Reynolds, our Cisco, can that help us with that? I think I answered it incorrectly.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that is...
Jim, can you identify yourself, please?
Jim Reinholdt, fiscal analyst with the House, assigned to the Ag Division. That is a new appropriation in the Ag Department, one time only of that amount, for a program that has language going through in a different bill, the Livestock Investment Grant Program.
Representative Chumper?
Mr. Chairman, so that bill is not part of this
legislation. It's just accounting for the money. So, Representative, my understanding is in here as well.
It is in
here. I believe it is. Mr. Reinholz, is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, I'd have to see a copy of the bill, but it is going through separately on its own also.
I think it's in both. But
thank you, Mr. Chair. And the other bill, Mr. Chairman, is still in the Finance Committee.
That's correct. Okay, Representative Avery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm inclined to, can you help me through this spreadsheet, and maybe Representative Carlson can help me, especially on this bill? Now, I didn't bring my copy of the budget forecast, the February forecast. I've actually got the long version. I was enjoying reading that, which proves I have no life. But this, I think it's a pretty important part of the bill. That on page 3 of the, Representative Carlson, on page 3 of the spreadsheet. thank you. Thank you, Madam Speaker, reminding people that you think I have no life either. Huh? but on that line 104, it says subtotal minus 501,394. Can you interpret that for me, please? Is that the balance of the changes that this bill does in the outgoing biennium? Is that right? Can you help me just understand what the tail effect is? No.
Chairman Carlson, why don't we want to have the...
Oh, that's
so
fine. Yeah.
But Mr. Mark, would you walk us through that last page?
Chair members, on the last page, and since Representative Avery, you referenced the last column, if you want to look at the last column, would be the House proposal for fiscal years 2010 and 11, or the tails. And the first line, line 90, is the budget problem, and it's been pointed out to me that probably should have a negative sign in front of it, but the numbers work, but the problem is a negative of $1,085,603 for fiscal 2010 and 11. Then the grouping in the next box are proposed changes, first of all, for several bills that are already passed, and then the capital expenditure bill, and then this bill at the negative 644,321. All of those in that box, the changes would total the 501. So all of these changes would reduce the fiscal 2010-11 problem by 501,394, and that would leave still a problem of 584,209. So if you subtract 501 from the 1085, you get the 584.
Thank you. And
so the net effect of this bill is a minus $644 million and change.
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, it's, yes, and thinking of it in terms of minus, it makes the problem better.
Right.
Or, yes.
Can you answer, and I'm confused about the budget problem. I was reading, I think I might have talked to you or some other staff about this. This doesn't count the reserves, right? The problem, that's the structural balance. And so our real deficit counting of reserves being intact would be minus 2. Is that right?
Mr. Mark?
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, in 2008 and 2009, there's the reserve money is brought into helping to solve the problem for 8 and 9. This leaves the reserves at that level. So $403 million in the budget reserve, zero in the cash flow account for 10 and 11. There's no presumption built into this that we're building the reserves back up. If we were building reserves back up, then there's more, a bigger cost to deal with.
So, Representative Avery. And it was really confusing as I was reading the budget forecast, but just if we go back to the budget forecast for the tails, the whole... if you keep the reserves intact, the hole is really $2 billion. Is that right? And then if you spend the reserves, it would be only $1 billion. Am I right on that?
Mr. Mark?
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, if you were reading the budget forecast, one other item that may have confused you is that in the fund balance statements there, the $985 million problem from 2008-09 is carried forward.
Oh, it is.
And that might be what's leading you to $2 billion. The other issue here also that might be discussed is that the inflation is not built into this in any place, and if you added inflation, that makes it $1 billion worse.
Okay, so I'm trying to be friendly to this, that was compounded then into the tail. So the budget deficit from the not counting 08-09 was just $1 billion separate from the out biennium. Is that right?
Mr. Mark?
Mr. Chair, it's $985 million, yes.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And so, well, I appreciate
Representative
that.
Abler?
Well, then that would help me be more informed on my question then. And so the deficit that we face now is minus 584 plus the matter of inflation. And so we're $1.6 billion or so, which is better than $2.6 billion. I'm teared up.
Aver.
Thank you.
Representative Aver.
And I
follow up?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mentioned it before in a more private meeting, the Ways and Means Committee, when we did a budget adjustment, but I'm still concerned about the $1.6 billion now that I have the right numbers. I'm glad we've made a dent by $600 million in this bill, in the tails. I think the people in the room who are glad about 2% COLA and a little $51 million for education and the one-time monies that have been dipped into and or that have been provided, really should be concerned about next biennium. And I don't know why I'm worried so much about this. I'm just a minority, but I woke up thinking about this morning, Mr. Chair. I have one more question. Is there a listing somewhere of the one-time monies? I know about the reserve monies that are taken in the cash flow account, but is there a list of the one-time monies that are taken out of these little pots of money somewhere? I don't need it for today, but it would be nice to have so I could see what we've really done and how not soft a landing we might expect next session since we've taken some of those monies.
We'll get that. Mr. March said he'll get that to you.
Much appreciated, okay. Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Other discussion on this particular Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, I think my question's along the line of Representative Abler. We were told to go to page 359 to find some of the different sources of the money, and I didn't see the special work comp fund there. And so I'm wondering, I saw it when Representative Rukavina was putting his bills together, he was robbing that fund of, I can't remember if it was $5 million for the mesothelioma study and another $15 million, I can't remember what it was. Have you taken that out? Are you not taking that fund for some other use now? Or if you are, can you tell me where in the bill that is?
Maybe what we could do is have Mr. Mark point it out to you on the spreadsheet. That would be the easiest.
Mr. Mark. Chair, Representative McNamara, I don't know the page number in the bill. I suspect someone will find it, but on the spreadsheet, if you go to the higher ed spreadsheet, which is the second one following the cover sheet, it's on the back of a page, and it's relatively small print, but about three-quarters of the way down that page. About three-quarters of the way down that page, it says general fund revenue changes.
Did and you find it, Mr. Max, Representative McNamara?
And there's the line general fund revenue changes, and immediately under that it says workers' comp special fund transfer is $14 million in fiscal year 2009.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mark. And Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering, Representative Carlson, the question's probably for you. Can you give me the history of what's the precedent? I know, if I remember right, last year I believe we transferred some money from this special work comp fund and used it. I think it was the nurses gave a real pressing argument that there would be some savings in work comp costs if we invested $500,000 or something, or maybe it was $5 million for some lifting to help the nurses, and we took some out of that fund. But now I noticed this $14 million, and that's evidently being transferred out of the fund. And do you know what the impact, what the history? First, I want to ask there's Representative Rukavina. Well, thank you. Can you give me the history, Representative Rukavina, for robbing from this fund?
Well,
Representative Rukavina.
Chair, and thank you, Representative McNamara. And if I'm a robber, you folks are outright thieves. So, because here's the history, members. In 2002, the House Republicans took $325 million out of what was then called the Assigned Risk Fund. And they put it in, $265 million of it went into the Workers' Comp Special Fund, and then they took that $265 million and used it to balance the budget in 2003. So I'm a piker compared to you guys.
Did you want to ask another history question?
Thank you.
Representative McNamara?
Former history teacher. But Mr. Chairman, they did ask what page it was on, and it's in the bill on page 92, if you want to look at where that appears.
Just be careful.
I'm sorry, Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Rukavina, then, I'm just curious, so what is the impact, how much money is left in the fund, and what is the impact, you often talk about the story of the milk delivery man right down your neighbor down the street, so what is the impact for somebody like him that this bill will have on tax increase for him or other small businesses like himself?
Mr. Chair and members, my understanding, you know, I used $4.9 million from that fund for mesothelioma study, and then there's $14 million. And I understand that, you know, there was still about a $9 million, I believe, left in there. This fund, this money is used to run the workers' comp division at the Department of Labor and Industry. And there's still a surplus there, Representative McNamara, and I don't anticipate there would be a need to build that up. But the impact would be on a $1 million of payroll. I think the surcharge for the special comp portion is 1.8 cents on $100 of payroll. So as I told Representative who asked me about this? I think Representative Simpson. If he has $1 million of payroll, his cost would be $180 to replenish that fund. So, but we don't anticipate that we'd have to go there, and maybe Farm and Labor Industry might have a different opinion on that, but I don't understand why they would.
Okay. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and that did answer my question about that. That's why I was wondering what the actual impact was. I still hope, Representative Rukavina, by the time we get to the floor, that the $4.9 million will come from the mining companies instead of from the little guy delivering milk on Highway 169, because the mining companies are who should be paying that $4.9 million. I just wanted to put that on the record again.
Okay. Representative Paulson.
Representative Gunther had a question.
Okay, Representative Gunther, to this point.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is the quote, Representative Solberg, Chairman Solberg, in October 25th, 2001, when the Republicans did, in fact, try to take money out of this fund. And he said, to make their plan work, they have to steal money from injured workers out of the work comp assigned risk pool. By stealing this money from the fund outside the funds outside the general fund budget, Representative Solberg charged, the GOP plan is little more than money laundering scheme. And basically what we are stealing from is a fund that you have an injured worker, and that person has an injury that we know we're going to have physical therapy. We know he's going to have so much money coming to keep his family going. And that's where this money is. That's where we're taking the money from. And I don't really mind the $4,900,000+, because I can see that's medical related for workers. But I have a big problem with the $14 million to balance the amount of money that you have to take and cut for your division. I think that is stealing from injured workers. That's my big problem with what your bill does. And I think we should work very hard in finding some way to replenish that money that is set aside for injured workers in the state of Minnesota.
Representative Rukavina.
Madam Chair, if I could, and Representative Gunter, I don't believe, and maybe I could be corrected, that a minimal amount of this money actually goes to the injured workers themselves. There's other parts of the workers' comp system that work for them. My understanding is that this funds the Department of Labor and Industry's administrative costs for workers' compensation, that it funds the administrative law judges, the workers' comp court of appeals judges, and as Representative McNamara pointed out a little earlier, Let's see, what was I going to... I was going to come after him, but I can't think... Forgetting the grudges here as I speak. But, It is not for the purposes that you're saying. And I know what it was. You brought up the $1 million that we tried to get for the nurses program, for the lift. We had to fight tooth and nail, and in fact, the governor threatened to veto the bill over that, but at the same time, the workers, Department of Labor Industry was hiring people, putting new people on workers' compensations on the payroll. So Representative Gunther, maybe Mr. Rakowski's here, he can contest what I'm saying. I don't know if I see him around here anywhere, but I think basically I've given you a pretty good idea, and I... You know, Representative Solberg sometimes, you know, he's kind of radical and he says things he really didn't mean years ago, maybe, but I can't speak for him here as we...
Well, to the point, Representative Curtis.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Gunther. I appreciate history as well. I recall 2001. It was my first year in the legislature. I sat on the Jobs and Economic Development Committee. It was Chair McElroy at the time. I believe you weren't vice chair at the time, were you? You were vice chair at the time, that's correct. And you guys stole one of my bills as a first-term member to be the omnibus bill, the bill that actually took the $260-some million out of this fund to balance the budget. And in order to do that, I was allowed to be on the conference committee. And I recall sitting on the conference committee with Chair McElroy, and a guy who looked a lot like you. As a matter of fact, I think it was you. He's a good-looking guy, yes. And you were there, and I believe when we had to vote on the floor to keep this money in there, when Representative Solberg made that great speech about money laundering, I believe you voted to keep doing this, to take the $267 million. So I'm just wondering... how your opinion has changed from when $260-some million was taken out compared to the $14-some million today. Seems like a big difference in dollar figures, but I know you were voting in favor of doing that in the past, and what's changed over the course of those years in changing your opinion now, kind of sticking out of the other side?
Representative Spencer.
I'd like to say age and wisdom, but I don't think I can convince you that. That was definitely not my plan. However, I remember several other times we'd take something very similar to this. We took money away from the electric inspectors, and it's something that you also complained, and justifiably so, and I agreed with you. Not very much. However, this is one that's taking money out of this fund, and I talked to the people on the Work Comp Advisory Council, and they totally agreed with what is being done here, that we're taking it from injured workers, just like we took money away from those electric inspectors. However, unlike the electric inspectors, some of that money was not going to stay in the bottom line. We feel that this money will have to be replaced very soon to take care of the future needs of those injured workers.
Representative Curtis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Gunther, I think to that point, just to recall, heard Representative Rakamina say there's still a surplus of funds in there, and I believe a quite significant dollar figure, almost the exact number is what's being taken, maybe a little less than that. So I think if Chair Rakamina and his consultation on this feel comfortable with it, and we haven't heard anything other than in the evidence that you propose that it might be the case, I think this is a responsible way of doing it, and many times less than what you had to do. And I know you didn't like doing it when you had to do it too, but you'd probably rather be chair of this committee now with the target that he was given compared to what you were given back when you were in charge.
Representative Paulson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I know that there's many one-time pots of money and other provisions in the bill, I think, that some of us may have some opposition to, and we discussed some of those provisions in the Tax Committee last night. I want to direct members' attention specifically to page 193 of the bill, the concern I have, and this is a fund that's being used as the Real Estate Education Research and Recovery Fund, Madam Chair, and we are proposed here under the Carlson bill to take $1.35 million out of this fund